This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
Well, we're at the Gay Fair today, after last year. This is brilliant, and a big parade. I really, really enjoy it, and it's good to see the people out here from my generation. I come from the 50s, and everything happened right up to 1986. It was scary. I played rugby. I was always scared of getting found out and getting crunched in the bottom of a ruck. It didn't happen, but today there are gay boys in the All Blacks, I can tell you. Called BOE, Voice of Experience.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here as well. Lovely weather, really cool to see an enormous crowd, and neat just to see it come to fruition, really.
Just thinking of the kind of historic elements, what's your kind of top memory of law reform?
Suddenly it was a relief. I was on TV at times in my career, and I was always scared of being found out and then being victimised because of it. I enjoyed playing sport. I didn't want to be victimised there, but I had to be very, very careful. And I had an interview recently about archives, what was it like, what you were saying, and one of it was a female asked me, she said, how could you, as a nice, good-looking man, she said, can I say that? And I said, yes, you can. From your day, you must be nice and good-looking then. How did you get off a rugby field and you're in the showers that you didn't get turned on? And I said, very simple. I don't play rugby like they do today in my day, because today you can get substituted. You don't play a full 80 minutes. You play 80 minutes of hard rugby, the last thing you're thinking of is a thing between your legs and the shower, I can tell you.
Coming forward to today, what are some of the things that kind of still need to be worked on for rainbow communities?
We've just been talking, a friend of mine and I, about how much social opprobrium there still is, and how to try and support young people in particular against the effects of transphobia and homophobia and biphobia. It's still an issue. Even though we're first class citizens, it doesn't mean that everything has been resolved. So we're still quite aware of it as well, and it's really interesting to hear from people who were so fearful of coming out prior to 1986. It's a different thing. We can't imagine what it's like to come out and say I'm a criminal effectively before that time. But now I think it's still a really tricky thing, and it's not easy to come out either. You do still fear a lot of prejudice and discrimination, and also still physical effects of it too. Yeah.
Well, certainly we've solved a lot of problems of gay marriage, civil union and so on. Even legalising prostitution's helped in another aspect. Mm. But one of the things is we have never really solved the transgender and intersex issues. Mm-hmm. They're still on the agenda there. We're still getting over a little bit about blood donations. We think we've crossed that hurdle now. And the other one is really what you're just talking about. The younger people, it's still very difficult, and you see some of the things in the private schools, what's coming out, The Board of Trustees saying these things don't happen, and in actual fact, probably their kids it does, and they don't know. And those things have got to change, that people need support, and it's up to us, some of us older people, to try and give that support, because we normally be able to get the platform to do it. The younger people, some people are just not listening to them.
I think there's a really awesome sense, though, of a burgeoning trans movement that's really visible to just a wee cisgender person like me. Like, it's really exciting to see trans people and people of colour as well really take a stand and start figuring out how they want to be in the world and be really, really visible and kind of argy-bargy about it. I'm excited by that. I think it's awesome.
One thing that seems to me to have changed a wee bit is how we kind of identify ourselves, so the language that we use. So can you recall kind of the language that you would use to describe yourself, like way back when, and kind of the words that you'd use now?
Some people, one person said, are you gay? And I said, I'm happy. That was one way of getting around it. I just can't really remember. Well, sometimes specs, it wasn't a topic that I experienced, because I never really dressed up or never flapped my hands around and looked, say, like John Inman on Are You Being Served sort of person. But sometimes there was that inside me wanting to get out, but I was too scared to do it. You know, it's The thing is, people were punching you then. They would grab you, you know, and I've seen people get hit. I've seen a guy get hit over the head of a bottle because he was just himself, and he wasn't in that person's face. He wasn't threatening that person, and it was quite scary to see, and I thought that could happen to me, so I just kept my head down, basically.
How did you meet other gay men around that time? Like, how did you know an established community?
Well, you did have the gay bar in Wellington. I'm Wellingtonian. You used to have the... coincidentally fell into it, to be honest. The tavern bar in Dixon Street, and you had the the other one. Anyway, there's one where the transsexuals went in, and that all the prostitutes were in selling to the sailors that came. That was at the
Royal Oak.
I'm just trying to think of what the bar was called, but the tavern bar was the one next to it. And then Mel and Scotty, Mel took over, not so much Scotty, the banana bar upstairs. So there was always that gay venue. Ironically, there were two bars in Willis Street that attracted the crowd as well. Mm-hmm. And because we had television in there up to 1975, before Avalon came along, you did have a lot of, say, theatre community there.
Right.
Television started in 1960. The majority of people making programs come from overseas, and, of course, that was from England, and a lot of them were gay, the heads of department and things like that. Television was great. It allowed women to break the glass ceiling, and invariably some of those women were, shall I say, not straight, but they managed to keep everything quietly within the thing until the late 70s, things came out a bit more. And it's more acceptable to be gay to be in television or theatre, and that made life a bit simpler for some of them. And that's one thing. The other bars, the other thing was the Dorian Club. Well, it's a secret society, but it wasn't really. You got invited to join. The bar shut at 10 o'clock in my day, so you wandered down to Dorian. You had a key to get in. You bought tickets down the bottom for the drinks. And we got raided one night. We got raided because somebody had been on a cruise ship. God, they had them on those days. Must have been very straight cruise. But somebody had done a lot of burglaries or robberies on the boat, and they were suspected from the gay community, so the police were thumped a bit. So they came up and raided the Dorian Club. And most of us, shall I say, shat our pants because we're getting sprung. But the policeman said, no, we're not after you guys because we know you're in one place. You're not doing the toilets. You're not offending anybody. You're all grouped together. And you don't roll out of here very drunk, which you mustn't have been looking very much time because some of us did. But the thing was, they arrested the guy, and sure enough, it was a bad thing to happen. But the police left us alone in that respect. And then Adoria moved up to Willis Street, and that became, you could take ladies along, there were ladies' nights. And then it died away. I can't remember why it died, but it died. And I think what came into vogue more was the gay bar itself. It became more acceptable to go to a gay bar after the law reform came through. And people like Scotty and Mel held that scene together in a big way in Wellington.
Just finally, so we're 30 years post-homosexual law reform. What do you think the world is going to look like in another 30 years' time? What's your ideal world for 30 years from now?
Whoa, what a tough question. I think this and then some, I suppose, because I think that with our social connectedness enabled through social media platforms, it will only get stronger and stronger. And I think that burgeoning sort of movement that I can see will also take on older people as well, and that's growing too. So I think, I hope we're just going to be more bolshy because we're going to be out there and we're not going back into closets, and we've got a lot of wrongs to right and a lot of great benefits of working together and developing a world that we want to be safe and healthy in too. So yeah, positive future.
Well, all I can say is that 30 years on, we've had a lot of change in my lifetime. I visited Germany in 1973. The war was up, and I never thought in my lifetime that would come down. It came down 16 years later. I went back and grabbed a piece of it. But it was quite a shock for it to happen. What I think now is people are listening. People up in Parliament are listening. You're getting things. I think the transgender issues and that would be more and more acceptable. There's adoption. That's another issue that's got to be sorted. I think that will happen. But it just made a lot of talking, a lot of chatting. One thing I'd like to see is a more, we're very lucky in New Zealand, really. we're able to get through these hurdles, and there are countries around the world that aren't. I mean, it's pretty awful. So my thing in 30 years is let's hope that these companies, the countries are doing things like throwing people off buildings and God knows what because of their sexuality, that 30 years on from here, they're at the point at least where we are now.
That's a really good point, and I think that Aotearoa has an opportunity to use influence in those regards as well. We should be using our influence within the world.
One thing I've got in mind, and I've got a lot of long-stay students here, all from overseas, they're seeing New Zealand. The South Koreans are here. They're seeing what we're saying about North Korea and that. And I think the answer's in those people recognising that the sky's not going to fall in if something happens. New Zealand's done it. We should be able to liberalise our country a little bit. And it's those people who are going to make the change, not the parents of them, of older people.